Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
And welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, those of you who are listening to the show know it's Friday because it is For the Love of Dog. And tonight, we are going to be talking a little bit more about this horrible weather that's hitting us in the Northeast. Hey, how about that global warming, Al? I don't know. I'd like some of that right now. We're going to have negative temperatures coming up this next week. What we want to do is really make sure, even in this weather, you know, within 10 minutes, bear skin can be frostbitten. Well, if we're going into the zeros and into the negative temperatures, low negatives, like -1, -2 even here in New Jersey, you've got to be careful about your dogs too. If you're taking your dogs out for a walk, unless you have like a husky or a shepherd or something that's obviously, or a Bernese Mountain Dog or something hairy, you got to really be careful. Because when you take your dog out, even if the body's okay, you've got to watch out for certain dogs who don't have a lot of fur on their ears that's insulating, or also the pads of their feet. Now, we all know about being really, really careful to make sure that the pads of the feet don't have salt on them. But another very important thing to realize is that when the dogs are walking, they can actually cut themselves on the salt, and even as well as you try to get the salt off, you're going to tend to have problems. You can have cuts. You know, it's just really a tough temperament out there for the temperatures that are out there, and it's a tough climate. So one of the things you can do, and know you're not being a sissy if you do this, is purchase an inexpensive pair, but that fits, of little boots. Especially those of you who live in the cities or in, a town where there's a lot of salt and sand and all that. Now, remember, some of you guys have dogs who have allergies. If your dog tends to be allergic, there are a lot of different things you can do. One of the things that I do in the winter and in the heavy summer heat is I put my dogs on an extra Nuvet vitamin. Now, my dogs are large, so they get 2 normally. But, you're always best to add an extra one. So if you have a dog who's, 30, 40 pounds, you can give him an extra half. But that helps them very, very well to get through not only the temperatures of this, horrible, horrible cold that we're having in this winter, but also not only that, it'll help them to prevent allergies. And it'll keep their bodies running really strongly. It also reduces the shedding. Now, one of the things that I hear a lot is people say, my dog in the winter seems to be much more on edge. Sounds seem to be much more a problem. Well, there's a reason for that. The less humidity in the air, the easier sound can travel. So, in other words, it's kind of the reason that an airplane can go faster up where the atmosphere is very thin versus on the air, on the ground, where they've got the friction of the tires and they've got the humidity that's lower down to the ground. So in the summer, a lot of the sounds get muffled. But in the winter, you have very dry air. And especially when it gets to this kind of a low, low temperature, the air gets very, very thin, almost like it would be at the top of a mountain. So the temperature does affect how quickly and how strongly the sound will travel. And sometimes, yes, your dog will hear things more or more intensely, or they will seem to be louder in the winter rather than in the summer. So, yes, there's a reason. Well, something else. We used to know with all my horses that I've been breeding, my Arabians, my Lipizzans that I've been breeding, and I'm going to let a few of them go to great homes who want to show. But some of my horses, especially my stallions, as soon as we'd get, about in October, and you'd start getting that first little cold snap, and then you get into this really bitter cold, they get spunky. So sometimes your dogs will do that too. Your dog may actually appear to be kind of a little more out of control or a little more on edge. Well, remember also, and here's a very valuable lesson, when you are cold, don't allow your dog to socialize with other dogs kind of randomly if your dog is not good with other dogs. So in other words, if your dog tends to not be good with other dogs, the winter is going to probably make it even worse, because what happens is even animals, when they get cold, or humans, when they get cold, they start shivering. Well, at United Canine Professionals, where we train people around the country, we have people in 37 states, we have over 300 people with Merlin's kids, and when we see this weather, it tends to kind of compound the issues that a dog or a human already has. If a human is afraid of dogs and goes toward another dog or another animal, and the human is cold, and we talked about this for all of my good students in this last class that we're in, finishing up in a few more weeks. Well, we talked about that this week. The fact that when you go into a client's home or when you are meeting a new dog, your fear will, it'll appear that you're fearful, or your fear will be intensified, because when you're shivering or shaking, the dog can feel that and he can sense that. Not that he will, but it's a very good chance that your dog is going to sense that cold, and he is going to make sure that he feels like, aha, that you seem like you're afraid of me. Well, you might not be afraid, but I've learned very long time ago as a child that when you are dealing with a cold human that is going to be sitting on a horse, or you're dealing with an animal, that the animals can perceive that temperature change in you, which makes you shiver then, as you being afraid. So obviously, you want to be careful. You want to make sure that you're doing things the right way and that you're nice and warm. So on these bitter, bitter days, don't choose that day to go and meet your neighbor's fear-aggressive dog, because you're going to get bitten, or you're certainly going to have a problem. So again, temperature does matter. It really does. Now, when your dog is walking around and you're out in the city, let's say, so I have so many clients in New York City, and it's very common when people say, you know, my dog just, you know, he doesn't want to go out. Well, knucklehead, it's like 7 degrees out. I don't want to go out either. So if your dog, if you think he's getting cold, you don't need to take him for a long, crazy walk. But what you can do if you have a dog with a behavioral issue is you can give him, put a nice little coat on him, and you could even put a backpack. A backpack, and then you can put a water bottle in each side. Or if it's a small dog, you can put like a roll of quarters in each side to give it a little bit of weight. That's actually going to really double or even triple the effectiveness of the walk. So instead of going for, you know, 10 blocks in this bitter cold, take them for 2 or 3 blocks, but have a backpack with a little bit of weight in it. And that will actually help him. It'll get more energy out. It's kind of like if you were exercising with weights on you, and it just makes your workout just that much more, and, you know, worthwhile. So we've got a lot of other things we're going to be talking about today, and we're certainly going to need your ears to listen to us, and the future Dr. Jody Joseph in the frigid Ithaca, New York is listening to us, as well as so many thousands of great listeners. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with For the Love of Dog.
Thank you. When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about winter, and one of the great things is that in the winter, we tend to stay home a lot more. Well, that means that many of you stop taking your dogs out altogether. Now, believe it or not, I have had a number of calls from people in Alaska, not only from our people in, yes, North Pole, Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, and Anchorage, Alaska, where we have some of our United Canine Professionals team members, but we're getting a lot of calls from the really cold areas, and people are saying, hey, I can't go out in this weather. You know, I'm 63 years old, or I'm 91 years old. I'm afraid of going out and falling. Or even, you know, women who have young babies, you can't take a baby out in this kind of cold. Well, what can you do to keep up with that? Hunt, wait, eat. What can you do to keep up with the fact that, you know, you got to teach your dog that he's a dog, and he's going to be with you. Well, what you can do, if you have a room in your house that perhaps isn't used much, let's say, for instance, you have a room where the kids play, or you have an attic area where you don't really go much, or you have an enclosed area that, you know, you can go walking. It just has to be a walk. It has to go, you have to be able to go anywhere you want to go, but make sure it's not the yard. So you can put the leash on your dog and walk your dog around your house in that room or wherever it is for, you know, 10 minutes on the leash behind you or beside you, and that will count as enough of a walk for your dog. The key is to let your dog think that he's hunting for food, and if he's hunting for food, he's following you. You're in charge. Now, I did have a lady who was up in Juneau, Alaska, which is a really cold place. That's like the coldest cold place. Well, she had called me, and it was around December, and she said she hadn't seen the sun in quite a while, many months. And what was going on with her dog is her dog, and she had a husky or Malamute, and I think it was a Malamute. Well, this Malamute was used to being outside, but obviously she wasn't. And when it gets really bitter cold, the humans tend to have really awesome stuff, like snowmobile equipment and things like that, which are super insulated. They really don't make stuff like that for dogs, though. So you have to be smart. If your dog is not a cold weather dog, if you have a Rhodesian Ridgeback, or you have, you know, some kind of a you know, really short-haired, like if you have a Chihuahua or you have a little tiny Yorkie, even putting a little teeny sweater on them is not going to make them warm enough. So you really have to look into getting him a good quality, outgear, you know, kind of like there are a lot of different companies who have them. But you can also layer that, and really important is to put something on their feet, because the problem is that their feet are very, very sensitive. And although the pads of their feet, once they turn black when they're about 6 or 8 weeks of age and they start walking on the pads a little bit more and it's toughening them, it's still skin, and it all is going to revolve around blood flow. The reason frostbite actually happens is the blood flow is reduced by the cold, the same way as when we injure ourselves and we put an ice pack on it. We're trying to reduce the blood flow to that area so that it doesn't pool up and we don't get a lot of blood loss, or that we don't have a gigantic hematoma or black and blue mark. Well, what we need to do is, same thing with the dogs, is make sure that the blood flow is continuing to the pads and to the ear tips and all. So if you feel that it's too cold for you to go out without a hood and that your ears are going to get really cold, probably your dog's feet are going to get really cold too. So just be smart and be aware. Now, another thing is, in this weather, it's a great idea to give your dogs kind of lukewarm water to drink instead of ice cold water when they come in, kind of the Black Beauty story, because you can actually, especially a dog who has a collapsing trachea and he comes in and now he drinks something ice cold, it can actually hurt him. And it can make their stomach, if they drink enough of it, it can make their stomach tense up, like we used to call with horses, tying up, where the muscles get cold after they were hot and used. And now that cold causes the muscles to constrict and tighten very quickly. And that can happen either inside the dog or outside the dog. That's why we say you never put a horse away wet when the horse has been sweating. And you never... Also, the same way with a dog, when dog comes back, give him smaller amounts of lukewarm water if he's hot and panting, because when he drinks the cold, his muscles will tighten up and he could get sick. He could colic or bloat even from that. So we have to be really careful. The other thing is, if your dog is very stressed, make sure you're not feeding him when he's in a stressed condition. So if you come home from an hour-long trek in the snow and you had a great time and Fluffy had so much fun, don't feed him right away. First of all, you wouldn't want to feed him right away because you'd want him to be thinking that he was hunting, and obviously he is not going to be eating first because he's not in charge. You are. But more importantly is, if he eats right away, he could conceivably, and not that unusual, but he could conceivably bloat, which is a torsion or a twisting of the stomach, and he could die. So the best thing to do in this weather, especially if the dog is going to be very active in the afternoon when the kids come home or when you come home from work, is give the dog his larger meal in the morning and give him a lighter meal after you know he's going to be excited and all exercising and all that. It's very, very important, and it's kind of common sense. Now, talking about that as well with food, another important thing, hopefully everybody is off all the junky, garbagey foods that we've been talking about in the past several weeks, and they're not getting corn, wheat, soy, BHA, BHT, byproducts, propylene glycol, animal digest, and by the way, natural flavorings, is also another code word, as you've learned, for digest. So we don't need to be giving them all that junk. Now, assuming you're giving them a good quality food, you want to give your dog a bit of warm water in with the food. Now, don't soak the food, but most kibbles will expand a certain amount when you give it to them. So you want to put in a little bit of warm water. And what I tell people to do, give your dog something interesting. You can add a little bit of chicken broth or a little bit of chicken or a little bit of beef broth, whatever you eat. Last night, my dogs had a $22 piece of organic salmon, and they loved it. Now, they didn't eat the whole piece of organic salmon. They had about half of it. shared among about the 10 of them. And the other half of that was in my stomach. But I took that and I put it into a nice saucepan. And I just put my purified, beautiful, clean water into the saucepan with the salmon and let it just kind of sit and mess around. And then I take a little ladle and I put a couple of scoops of the broth in with their food. And then I take a couple of nice chunks of the salmon meat and put that in with each dog's food. Let me tell you, they were licking the shine off the bowl last night. Now, that's not what you have to do, but it's a great way to keep your dog healthy and so that the food doesn't blow up in his stomach. So we're going to be back in a minute with some more great tips on For the Love of Dogs. Stay tuned.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Dennis Wolf. Well, we've been talking about a lot of cold weather things this time, and there's one more thing we need to discuss about the cold weather. You, when you are walking, you're going to be out there. If it's this bitter cold, you're going to be inhaling a lot of very cold air into your nose. Now, imagine when you're breathing through your mouth, and you know how it almost freezes your throat? Well, let's think about our brachiocephalic breeds, our bulldogs, our boxers, our pugs, our French bulldogs, our some of the American bulldogs who don't have quite as much nose, and some of the other breeds like Tibetan Spaniels, Japanese Chins, little dogs who don't have a lot of nose to warm up the air before it goes into the lungs. And sometimes on a really, really bitter cold day, especially when it's below zero, these dogs, more than even than the regular dogs who have the nice long noses, will have problems breathing. So you want to make sure that you give them, again, give them a little bit of warm or lukewarm water when they come home, and try not to have them out too much because the cold is as much of a stress on some of these brachiocephalic breeds, the short-nosed dogs, as it is in the summer. Everyone knows in the summer, make sure your dog has plenty of water, and in the summer also make sure that your dog doesn't get heat stroke. Well, in the winter, make sure your dog doesn't have so much cold air going into his nose that he can't metabolize properly and that, you know, his nose is now going to get frostbitten on the inside because it's wet. Any of those dolts who have ever stuck their tongue on a flagpole can tell you that water freezes, whether it's attached to your tongue or it's in your nose or it's in your throat. It will freeze. So you really got to be aware of your dogs, making sure that your dogs are going to be safe. I wish somebody would make a little mask, like a little surgical mask, which is what I do if I walk my dogs in the cold. I put a little surgical mask over my nose because what it does, not only does it filter the air, but more importantly, it warms the air, and the air that comes into my nose and lungs isn't as bitter cold. And it's a really great idea for those of you, especially the elderly, who do have to go out in this cold. Put a surgical mask on your nose, and this way it will stay there. People might look at you funny, but you know what? If they're looking at you funny, tell them, hey, this is a great idea. I heard it on For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It's a great idea. And if you can, try to, you know, make your walks a little bit shorter when it's bitter out. Also, try to take your longer walk in the warmest part of the day when the sun's out, because even if it's still frigid temperatures, at least the sun helps to heat the surface, which, of course, your dog is, unless you have a monster dog, is going to be lower to the ground, closer to where it gets warmer than the air. If you are on the ground level and you're closer to the ground, it's a little bit warmer because of the heat escaping from the earth, especially if you're on blacktop, where the black of the macadam is going to be absorbing the rays of the sun and making it a little bit warmer. So we can use nature in our behalf instead of against us. It can be with us. So, all right, let's continue on, and we're going to kind of switch topics a bit. What do you do when your dog becomes dog aggressive? Well, we don't really want you to do one of these, don't try this at home, but we do want to talk to you a little bit about how you can fix the dog's behavioral issues and help the dog so that it doesn't become dog aggressive even more. What do you do when you first start out and you have the best dog in the world? You get this cute little puppy and it's so adorable and everybody comes over and the dog is eating its little chew toy, and your little daughter who's 5 years old goes over and the dog kind of looks at her funny, and you say, oh, honey, don't go near him when he does that, when he looks at you, because, you know, it's his. You wouldn't want your sister to go in your room, right? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So what happens is we start teaching our puppies and our rescue dogs, when we teach them that it's okay for them to give an intense eye contact or growl or snap at our people. That no dog is ever allowed to put teeth on skin. And unfortunately, it seems that I've had a lot of people lately who have done just that. Many, many of these people, my clients, unfortunately have children who have been growled at by their dogs. And it's very important to make sure that we don't allow that to happen. If you wind up and you're, you know, allowing a dog to look at your daughter or your son or your wife or your husband or your grandma, and it's allowed to give a little growl, and you say, oh, don't go near him because that's his, Johnny, that's his bone. Heck no, it's not his bone. It's not his bone at all. It's my bone. I bought it. My dog didn't buy that. So you have to make sure that the minute that anything happens, that you are able to correct that dog and teach him, that's not okay. We don't growl at humans, and we don't take that because that's not ours. That's mine. That's not yours. So it's very important always to make sure that you remember, when you have a dog, you have that dog, assume that he's going to be a 100-pound or 150-pound dog. If he's going to be a 150-pound dog, is it okay for him to jump on people? Well, no. Well, if he's a 15-pound puppy, is he allowed to jump on people? Well, no. So what do you do when you have a dog who's starting to growl? Well, fortunately, you can have help from us, United Canine Professionals. We have an 800 number, and you can call. We will help you. We cover 37 states, Bulgaria, France, Australia, and a bunch of other places in Europe that are coming on board very soon, and 37 states in the U.S. It is critical that you contact us if you have a problem. If we can help you through it on the phone, it won't cost you anything. It's free of charge. You can call us at 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, and the word PROS, P-R-O-S. So it's 855-4, Canine Pros, and we will help you. We don't want you to have to get rid of your dog, and we don't want you to set your dog up for failure. We want you to set your dog up for success. It's just common sense. So when we talk about the different things that happen and different behaviors that pop up, we always get some of our clients who say, you know, like Julianne up in Detroit and Chicago, you know, hey, I love this. This is amazing. I can't believe it. I had four different trainers out. You came in, and in 3 or 4 hours, you fixed my dog. And you know what? I want to help other people to do this. The greatest thing in the world is having a client become a student and then the client to become the teacher. And we have people all over the country. A lot of people who actually were our clients because they had a dog with a behavioral issue. And they said, you know something, I want to learn more and I want to teach this. I want to help people because I know how desperate I was when I had that problem. And that's why we do what we do. So if you or somebody you know would like to join our team, call 855-4-CANINE-PROS. And we will be right back with another great segment of For the Love of Dog.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf and Whispity Bunny Dog, who's here visiting with us and giving kisses. For those of you who remember my old show, I used to have a great TV show, and we took a viewer poll about different names, and we wound up coming up with Whispa, who is, you know, since we call ourselves whisperers, dog whisperers, it's a behaviorist who really has an intense knowledge and years of experience, not some fly-by-night who, you know, thinks they know what they're doing and, you know, is dangerous. It's not about egos, folks. It's really not. But, you know, Whispa reminds me all the time how wonderful people can be and how great dogs can be. And then, you know, every once in a while I'm reminded about how rotten people can be and how wonderful dogs can be. And here comes my Wyatt, who is the best dog in the world, and he's going to come up here with permission and ask And he's going to give me a kiss. Wyatt, you want to say hello? Oh, that was good. Thanks. Wyatt gave me a big wet kiss, which I love. Wyatt, you want to say hi to your adoring audience? He says, hi, guys. He says, I'm nice and warm near the radiator. Well, so we're going to be continuing on about some other things with behavior. One of the very important things that happens is I get a lot of phone calls from people who say, well, you know, I had somebody over and they said they were behaviorists. And, you know, you ask people how long they're doing this. Ask them how many dogs they have personally rehabilitated. There are people out there who say, oh, yeah, I'm a level 82 behaviorist. Well, okay, can you explain what that means? Can you tell me the dogs you have personally rehabilitated? And can you tell me how many follow-ups you will go on and how much it costs? And ask them questions. What do you do? Who did you learn from? Are you certified? Are you certified by a company that has more than three people in it? You've got to make sure that you use somebody who is good. And don't go and throw your dog into a board and train program. People can say anything. There are people out there, and I know of a number of them, who will say, oh, I train service dogs, or I train whatever, trained for service dogs or emotional support animals, and they have no clue. And there are a lot of people who lie out there, and it's just so sad. Instead of, you know, trying to steal thunder from others, and instead of trying to, you know, pretend you're something, go and get trained by somebody who legitimately knows, like Merlin's kids, our foundation. I mean, we have placed, trained, rehabilitated, and placed hundreds on hundreds on hundreds on hundreds, probably into the low thousands of dogs, of service dogs, through our many, many years. I have personally been doing this for, well, I don't want to say how many years, but it's a lot of years, because I was a very young kid when I started. And I've fixed more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues, just myself. Now, at United Canine Professionals, we have people who have been with us for years and years, and then we have some other people who have only been with us for a couple of years. But it doesn't matter, because we're always learning no matter what happens. We are learning, and we're getting better, and we're improving. And when people stop learning, and I have a phrase I always say, when you think you know everything, it shows you know nothing. And there are many people out there who are bragging and telling everyone how great they are. And it's really sad, because those are just miserable people who are trying to put one over on other people. Ask people, gee, can I check your criminal background? Do you mind? Can I have a copy of your driver's license? Or can I have your first and last name and a list of the other names you've used? Because I want to check to see who's coming into my house. I do that with all my workers. I'm actually hiring somebody to refinish my wood floors. And the first thing I did is I said to the man, hey, I need to have a copy of your either your driver's license or your name, your address, so that I can look that up and make sure you're not some kind of a child molester. Because I don't want people in my house with my dogs and my, you know, animals. I want, and my, if I had children, I don't have kids. You've got to be careful who people are, and you've also got to be careful. Don't trust that because somebody else says, hey, oh, this person is okay, that they probably haven't checked them out either. So seriously, run criminal background checks on people. You will find out crazy things. Now, I don't really care if my dog trainer or my dog behaviorist, you know, might have a speeding ticket, but I do care if he has a DUI. I do care if he's been in prison, especially if it's a convicted felon, especially multiple counts. And I really care if somebody's got child molestation charges, or if they've got some kind of, you know, assault or some kind of charges like that. I'm not letting them in my house or near my animal or in my neighborhood. And it's just a shame that there are people out there who are trying to pretend that they're something they're not. You know, and it's just a shame. It really is just a shame. So be smart and be aware and check out the people who you're allowing in your house, near your animals, or handling your money. So here's what we're going to talk about now on a happier note. We're going to talk about all of the amazing service dogs we have right now that are being fostered all around the country. And we've got a great new crop of them, and we've got a great class starting next week for our service dog training, our cancer detection dog training, and also for our people who would like to be teachers in special needs schools or district schools using our highly trained facility dogs, service dogs, that are used for multiple children in a school setting. We at Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals are the only ones who offer not just, you know, a well-trained dog that sits and lies down or whatever, and hopefully it's good with children, but the training for the human, because the human and the dog team together is 100%, but probably 60% of that is the human and about 40% is the dog. Obviously, the dog has to be super well-behaved. It's not that it needs to be well-trained. It needs to know when a special needs child or a veteran with PTSD starts flipping out, you can't take a dog who is really fearful, and now the dog is going to be panicked and is going to go bite someone. But, of course, if you've only placed one or two or three, quote-unquote, service dogs in your life, you probably don't have a clue about that and shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, this is people, and people are people. And there are good people, and there are people who have been in prison. And some of the people who have been in prison are really good people. But when you're, you know, getting multiple charges and you're having a lot of these people who are out there are scam artists. And a lot of these people look good or sound good. Check them out, folks. I'm telling you, we've all had people in our home who really shouldn't have been. And I had that in the past where I had somebody I trusted very much who stole a lot of things from me. Thankfully, it was just things and there was no damage to my animals. But, you know, there are just a lot of really bad situations out there. Well, we at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids want you to remember to stay smart and make sure you know who's coming into your home. Make sure you know that this person is a legitimate person who has trained thousands, not 10 or 100, but thousands of dogs and can document it. Your dog doesn't need to be the guinea pig or the crash test dummy. So we're going to continue on in the next and last segment. So stay tuned for happier times ahead on For the Love of Dogs.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
welcome back to For the Love of Dogs with Janice Wolf. Well, we're going to talk just a bit more about our training. We have had literally hundreds and hundreds of people applying for our new class of canine behavior, natural canine behavior rehabilitation, which is something that only we offer. And I know that there are probably other people who are claiming that they do the same thing, but they're not. That's great for them. I guess flattery, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and the flattery is a fly-in. Well, if you or someone you know wants to come aboard and join UnitedK9Professionals.com, you can call 855-4-K9-PROS. And if somebody is looking to become a certified teacher, certified in our natural canine behavior, and become a service dog handler, or become a specialist in the therapeutic facilitation, or in behavioral interventions, we offer that through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. Well, Merlin's Kids, it has been around, and it was a brainchild from when my Lipizzan stallion Merlin, who passed away around 12 years ago, and I had been doing all these amazing work with autistic kids since I was about 17, which is more than a few years ago. And unfortunately, there are so few services out there, and nobody was doing service dogs back then. You didn't hear about it. It was just the seeing eye dogs you saw. Well, I was doing autism service dogs and CP service dogs and specialty service dogs many, many years, and training other people's dogs to do this. Now, in the past 10 or 11 years, it's really been jump-starting. And we've been just all over the country, all over the world. We are starting up now in Australia. We will have our service dog program where people can learn how to train service dogs. We have 3 new people in Australia. We have people already in Europe. And we are trying to get out there to make service dogs much more affordable for people. Right now, there are 2 groups of people who are training service dogs. They're the people who think they know something about it and really don't. Some of them are doing it for free. Some of them are making bogus nonprofits that aren't even nonprofits through the U.S. government yet, so they're not even legitimate. And they're accepting donations and trying to get people to support them. Well, you got to look at it. What do these people know? Well, if they don't know anything and they haven't been doing it and they don't have somebody mentoring them, and I will personally say on the air that I have not personally certified anybody to become a service dog trainer unless I have personally worked with them with our company, and they have had hundreds and hundreds of hours of work, and there is nobody who I would trust to do that besides me and about 3 of our people on our board of directors. So then you have the people who are legitimate, who have trained hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, the people who have extremely intense backgrounds in special needs children, special needs adults, understanding PTSD, understanding that sometimes you can't put a dog in with a family because sometimes that dog will be in danger. And if you have someone who's got an unstable mindset and you think you know what you're doing, you're waiting, you know, one day you're going to have a dog bite a veteran, you're going to have a dog bite a child. You cannot do this and fly by the seat of your pants. You must be dual certified in natural canine behavior rehabilitation as well as in your service dog field. Even with service dogs, you know, people say, oh, yeah, you know, this one has a service dog, that one has a service dog, whatever. A service dog provides a service to the owner, not that somebody claims they've got PTSD after they get out of prison and they have PTSD from being in the military. That's ridiculous. That's a charlatan. That's somebody who you want to stay away from. You want to find people who legitimately do this. And even if there is a charge, because it is pretty expensive to train a dog, not obviously to keep it in your house for 3 weeks and claim that you've trained it in 3 weeks, because that's ridiculous. It takes even for the best dog in the world, even through Merlin's Kids or United Canine Professionals, it's going to take around 4 to 6 months to really know that dog's temperament. And then it should take an additional 4 to 6 months to train the dog to do the specific things that the dog is going to need to perform. And then there should be a test, and there has to be follow-up. If the dog at some point winds up not being able to do that job anymore, then the dog is no longer a service dog. What the problem is there are so many people out there. There are children who have autism. There are people who are blind. There are people with visual impairments who also have, let's say, other physical issues. There are people in wheelchairs. There are legitimate, so many legitimate and diabetic alert dogs and, you know, service dogs for seizures and things. Those are legitimate. But when you get people who say, oh, I'm just going to, I get nervous, I get scared when I go out. Yes, we do PTSD dogs, but they're diagnosed by two or more doctors, because anybody can have their boyfriend or husband or whatever who's a doctor say, oh, yeah, oh, you have PTSD from your military service. My husband served in Vietnam for I think, 4 years, and you know, my husband has still not to this day told me certain things that, you know, he can't deal with. But he's functional. We talk about stuff, and he's fine. Now, when you get some of these veterans who, you know, unfortunately really can't handle things, you can't just place a dog there. You have to do that in conjunction with a program to be able to help these great veterans, these heroes, who have put their lives on the line, and that includes firefighters and some police also who've had severe PTSD. You've got to put it in with a program. You can't just say, oh, I'm putting a dog in there and think that that dog is going to be okay and save this guy's world. You need to have these guys have a team of people to help them, not just for yourself to make it seem like you're, you know, this great, you know, God's gift to the world because you're taking a shelter dog or a puppy, and, you know, in 2 weeks you're going to turn it over as a service dog. That isn't, these guys, and I know because I live with somebody who was in the war, and I've had, can't even tell you how many veterans that I've spoken with and intensely gone through things with. These guys and these ladies need a lot more than a dog. They need a support system. They need health coaching. They need life coaching. The dog is just a small part that helps them along their way. But you can't expect these heroes who have done what they've done for our country to just, you know, expect that this is going to end, you know, be the end all be all, because it's not. They need to have a team of support behind them. Same thing with autism dogs. You can't just have an autistic child who's not doing anything other than having a dog. Yes, the dog will help to a degree, but you can't forget about the whole person. And that's what I'm saying. If you're looking to get into this and to get involved with training service dogs, legitimate service dogs, not fake service dogs that somebody's just trying to pawn off, but legitimate service dogs, you've got to make sure you have a whole team of support people who are able to work and make sure that that dog is going to be placed into the home with a child or with a veteran who is going to receive counseling and is not going to be left alone after, you know, the camera and the flash bulbs dry and cool down. So I know we've gotten into a little bit of a tirade today. Oh, well. But just for everybody to remember, keep your dog safe. Keep your people safe. Make sure that you know who you're letting into your house. And make sure that if you are going to deal with any agency that produces or provides service dogs, ask to see a lot. Don't go buy a fancy website, because anybody can spend a couple $100 and get a great website. Ask to talk to the people. Make sure you know who you're letting into your house. And be safe. It is so cold. Please be safe. Be happy, be healthy, and we'll talk to you next week on For the Love of Dog.